Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are dealing with that sin of lying. That sin that so many people don't think is such a big deal, but obviously God does, and that's why we need to pay closer attention to it, to find out what exactly God says about it, and how we are to put it out of our lives. And here's what we read in Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And we are working our way through this two-verse text and looking at four reasons why Christians ought to renounce lying. Now, please remember that this is in a bigger section that has to do with how to deal with the sins of the old life. And it's in contrast with what the false teachers taught that Paul records in Colossians chapter 2. Their approach to sanctification, which is the fancy word for getting rid of the old sins and putting on spiritual characteristics in our lives, and their solution for that was to add rules and regulations. They dealt with it entirely externally. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So, there are wrong ways to deal with the sins of the flesh, and there are correct ways to deal with them. And in chapter 3, Paul is giving us the correct way to deal with the sins of the flesh. And he tells us that it begins by cultivating a spiritual mindset. That's verses 1 and 2, and then slaying the remnants of the old life. And that's just hard work, and we've got to do it. Sexual sins, materialism, anger, and now lying. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So we go a little bit further into our text today on this Wednesday, October 12. We're grateful that you were able to join us. And we are so very, very thankful for those of you who help support us. Why should Christians renounce lying? Number one, because God forbids it. Do not lie. Number two, because it harms the body of Christ. Do not lie to one another. Not to say that it's okay to lie to people who are outside the body of Christ. There are the injunction against lying, do not lie, is universal. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And that's true whether you're dealing with saved people or unsaved people. But when Paul, by the Spirit of God, tells us that we are not to lie to one another, he's reminding us that there is special damage to the body of Christ that is created when we lie to one another. Because we are members of the same body, and because we are joined together, and because we have the same Holy Spirit that does join us together, and we are all are part of the same body, and when one part is unhealthy, then other parts suffer, and when one part of the body attacks another part, that causes great damage. in your physical body, one of the worst things that can happen to you is to have certain cells in your body start attacking other cells. Cancer is a disease like that, and there are others as well, but when, anyway, I'm not going to try to go into that now. I'm not a medical doctor, but let's just stick with cancer. Cancer's like that. You get cancer cells in the body, and they start attacking healthy cells in the body. That's what's the big problem with cancer. If you had cancer cells that just would leave the rest of the body alone, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But because cancer starts growing and attacking other cells, it becomes a big, big deal. It's going to kill you eventually, and I know what I'm talking about. I've had it. It's been a long time ago now, and I thank the Lord for the health that He's restored to me. But back more than 30 years ago now, about 32 years ago, I sat in a doctor's office at Duke University Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina, and the doctor tell me this. He said, "You've got a very aggressive cancer. This is how we treat this cancer. It is very, very strong treatment. But if we don't treat it, you'll be dead in 3 to 6 months. That's it for you. You've got a fast-growing cancer. The cells of your body are attacking your body, and it's going to kill you." Well, that's not exactly the same, but that's similar to what happens when one member of the body of the Christ lies to another member. He's attacking the other member. He is undermining the body of Christ. He's not just disobeying God. He is doing that because God says, "Do not lie." But there's a special relationship and there's a special vulnerability here. And he is attacking the body of Christ. Don't lie to one another, because it harms the body of Christ. Lying is a seriously corrosive power in the context of Christianity, because, among other things, because the Christian religion is based upon truth. How much that is emphasized in the Scriptures. Truth, truth, truth. And everything that is opposed to God and to the true religion of the Lord Jesus Christ is a lie, a lie, a lie. And lies have to be stopped. They have to be identified. They have to be exposed. They have to be opposed and replaced with truth. Christianity is a religion of truth. And the power of the gospel depends upon that truth. And Christian fellowship is built upon truth and trust, and lying damages and destroys the body of Christ because it destroys the trust that we have with one another and ought to have with one another. And it brings about great harm, great damage. It seriously corrodes the effectiveness of Christ's body. I don't know if you feel the weight of this as much as I do, but it's very evident to me that, in general terms, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America today is not in good spiritual health. I'm not saying that there aren't individual churches that are healthy. Thank God there are. But across America today, it seems to me like the general level of Christianity is very low, is very unhealthy, is riddled with unbiblical concepts. In other words, it is riddled with lies. Christianity, this religion that is based upon truth, is in so many cases riddled through and through with lies. People believing that which is not true. People believing lies. People thinking things are Christian that are not. And people that are treating lightly the truth of God's word and dismissing it. And this is why I'm convinced that the only hope for America is revival in the churches of America. Sometimes Christians get very busy denouncing the sins of the world, but seem to be very unconcerned about the sins of themselves, of their own. Oh, we can get real indignant about things like gay marriage and other abominations. And they are abominations. They are terrible. If you want to know what the Bible teaches about homosexuality, just start in Genesis and go right on through. And if you'll be honest with the scripture, you'll find out that it is indeed a terrible sin. It is abominable to God. It is unnatural. But, we've already read in the book of Proverbs that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. The very same word that is used to give us God's perspective on homosexual behavior is used to give us God's perspective on lying. Why is it, therefore, that Christians think that lying is not such a big deal, but gay marriage, now that's really, really, really bad. It reminds me of the mote bean problem that Jesus told us about. How easy it is for us to see the speck in our brother's eye, and this, of course, is not exactly what I'm talking about, but similar, to see the speck in our brother's eye, but we don't see it clearly because we've got this big log in our eye. And Jesus said, before you try to take specks out of your brother's eye, first take the log out of your own eye, the mote and the beam problem, if you use the old King James English. And that is a major problem because we are so prone by our Adamic fallenness to view the sins of others, the ones that aren't ours, the sins of others as being really, really, really bad. And sometimes we'll get all concerned about that. And we want to organize, we want to lobby, we want to crusade against gay marriage, against abortion. And believe you me, that's a horrible thing. Murdering children by the millions legally in America, no wonder the wrath of God has already fallen upon our land. But we see these sins that are out there in the world, and we want to focus all of our attention upon that, but we don't want the spotlight of truth shining upon our sins, upon our families, upon our marriages. We can get all bent out of shape about gay marriage, but be very casual about divorce and remarriage, broken marriages in our families, in our churches. And again, I'm not saying that there are no biblically justified reasons for divorce. Actually, there are. But the casual approach that many American Christians take to divorce and remarriage, giving no attention whatsoever to whether or not this is truly sanctioned by God. Makes no difference. I want out. And now that I'm out, I want to marry somebody else. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. Contrary to what Scripture says in many cases. But that's what I'm going to do. So we sail along with our sins and justify them, defend them and justify them, while we're denouncing the sins of others, and we think that we're better, that we're the righteous ones, and it's those sinners out there that God needs to be judging. I think it may be the other way around. Judgment, we're told, must begin at the house of God. And lying is one of those things that we've got to deal with. We've got to get it out of our lives. We've got to get it out of our churches. We've got to get rid of it in order to have God's blessing upon our churches. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.